You know, God is good in every area. And again, I want to share that in our discipleship house, training for reigning. Amen. In the area that God draws people, takes them out, makes idiots like myself. He turns, he confounds the wise. He takes the foolish. He takes the rejected. He takes the outcasts. And he touches them. He fills them. He changes them. And he lives in them that they may become a trophy for his glory. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, tell him the Lord loves you. In spite of yourself. Yeah. Praise God. You know, as we were worshiping today, the Spirit said, shared something with me. And one of the things he shared, he said, and it reminded me of what a president said a while ago in a speech. He said, it's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I began, and he said, right now it's being reversed. It's not, people are not looking at what they can do for their country. They're looking at what their country can give them. And he says, and it's happening the same way in the body of Christ. He said, people are coming to find out what they can get from the body of Christ, but not going to the place where, what can they do for the body of Christ? And I began to look at this and go, my gosh. You know, when I got saved, I wanted to learn. But in my process of learning, I wanted to give. I wanted to be a part of the body of Christ so badly because I realized that this was a citizenship, not of this world. It was an eternal place, man, and I wanted to be a citizen of eternal realm, of the glory realm. I wanted to know so much more about how the kingdom operated and its principles and the character and moral ethics. Even in business, I wanted to know how kingdom operated. And I wanted to be a part. I wanted to serve in every area that I could serve. And it started off with prayer. And it led from one thing to another, to service, intercession, to outreaches, to feeding, to clothing, to whatever it was. I wanted to be a part of the kingdom in its process of serving. And I really believe that that same character that's happening in the world is infiltrating the body of Christ. It's not what you can do for the body anymore. It's what the body can do for you. And that's wrong. That is wrong. That is worldliness. That is carnality. That is flesh. There's that process of learning. Even when I was learning, it wasn't the area that what the body can do for me. I wanted to be trained up by the King of Glory. I wanted to be a soldier of the Most High. I wanted him to work through me, speak through me, touch through me. I wanted to see signs, wonders. And one of the greatest sign and wonders the Lord said to me was, you. See, salvation is the greatest sign and wonder that there can be. He said, you. You're my sign and wonder. So we need to be sign and wonders, but we got to come to that place of, what are we actually doing for the body? What are we doing for the body? Do we show up for church? Do we tithe? Look, let me tell you, there's a lot more. There's a lot more. See, this is where Jesus kept saying, you got to deny yourself. If you really want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. He warned us about the things that entangle us and hold us back. He said, don't entangle yourself in the affairs of the world because you can't be a soldier. He knew that these things would draw us away and begin to drift. We become compromising and laziness. We would lose our zeal for the house of God. He warned us. So before we even get started today, because this is by the Spirit, do you still have your zeal for this house or the house you belong to? What are you doing for the house of God? What are you doing for the house? Yeah, you get to get your house in order, but what are you doing for his house? Are you coming as a taker or are you coming as a giver? This is counsel, correction, and direction now because the Lord is searching through. He sees, he hears, he sees it all. Before his throne room are all the requests. And he picks up the request and he says, okay, okay, okay. You're asking what I can do for you, but I'm asking you, what can you do for me? And that's where we're standing right now. That's where we're standing right now in the kingdom. This is where we're standing right now. Where are the watchers? Where are the doorkeepers? Where are the catchers? Where are the intercessors? Well, I intercede at home. That's good. Where are the volunteers for the things of the kingdom of God, for the house of God? Where is your zeal? Well, I'm too proud for that. Now, we let the younger ones do that. No. God has a way of humbling us. Some things are being held back and delayed because you have lost your zeal for the house of God. Jesus went in. What did he do? He kicked over what? All the money changers. He kicked off. Why? Because they were so interested in building their own house that they had in the house of God that they had lost sight about building the house of God. And he kicked it over. Then the disciples remembered, my gosh, that's right. Remember that Jesus would maintain the zeal for his house. Where's your zeal for his house? Or is it only for zeal for your own house? In Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Came to hear the truth, right? Philippians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. He said, look, it not only in front of me, but behind me. Work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And I'm going to tell you that it seems like much of the fear and trembling is dissipated from the house of God. See, they're willing to act it when they're in front of you, but when they're not in front of you, they lose it. But God sees it in front and behind closed doors. Amen. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his what? His good pleasure. It says, do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Fear and trembling. See, we're to walk in fear and trembling because we're to work our own salvation out. The moment you lose the fear and trembling of the Lord, you're not working your salvation. Is everybody with me? And the fear and trembling is reverence, honor, and respect. Have you lost the reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord? Have you lost that the Lord is always before you, seeing all, knowing all, hearing all? Have you looked at Jesus? Remember, he said, imitate me. Have you really lost the zeal for the house of God? Have you lost the zeal? See, zeal is also known as fire, but fire purifies. Have you lost that arena? You know, when we first started our walk, we were like, oh, yeah, yes, let's go. I love it. This is great. Go back to it. Go back to it. Go back to that place where you were childlike and you didn't give a hoot what people thought. And you just wanted to get into God's presence. You wanted to do something for the house you wanted. Man, you just wanted to do everything for the... You were sold out. You were sold out. And the enemy comes by and tries to buy your soul back. He first starts with the exchange of the zeal for the house of God for the zeal of self. And one thing after another, your complete sold out begins to reverse. We're to maintain the reverence, honor, and respect, not only in the presence, but out of the presence. Now, let me share something with you. This is what keeps unity. How many of y'all know that power is in unity also? You know, the Bible says two touch and agree. Amen. If two walk, hello? Remember, he sent them out two by two? I'm telling you right now, that's where unity is. It's walking your salvation, working your salvation out with fear and trembling. It will promote unity. You know why? Because you won't look at everyone else. You'll look at yourself first. Why? Because you'll have that relationship with the Lord. This is what keeps unity. Some of the only unity that's happening is gossip behind closed doors or unrighteous motives, attitudes, or desires. People have more unity behind closed doors talking about everybody else. Their unity is in grumbling or complaining instead of denying oneself, breaking down the walls, interceding and getting zealous for the house of God, walking in that fear and reverence to Him. Unity is essential right now. You know why God brings disasters? Not only to awake, but to what? Bring unity. It's amazing that when something happens in the body of Christ and people get together, why wait for something to happen? Because it truly is happening all over. We must fight for unity, not division. A house divided can't stand. It's our responsibility to maintain unity. It's our responsibility to be an example of someone who serves. It's amazing how everybody likes to complain about everybody else and serve. And oh yeah, well, but then they're not willing to serve themselves. The only thing they do is serve themselves. They've lost zeal for the house of God, and the fear and trembling is distant from them. But I'm telling you, God is restoring. This is how we overcome in unity. Ephesians 4. Fear and trembling. In verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children. Now, imitators of what? Oh, I'm in verse 5. I'm sorry. Well, don't lose that scripture, okay? That's chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God as dear children, okay? Praise God. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. How many of y'all want to be a prisoner of the Lord? Hallelujah, I'm glad if half of you want to be. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With what? What's the opposite of lowliness? Pride, not in pride. And what? Gentleness, not in anger. With long suffering, bearing with one another in what? Love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gives gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Fear and trembling will promote unity, not division, not selfishness. It will promote the will of the Father. You must ask yourself, what are you doing to unify the fellowship you're involved in? What are you doing? What example are you to others as when younger ones come in? Where's your example? Well, I'm just too busy. Too many eyes. There's loss of fear and trembling. Loss of fear and trembling in the area of keeping unity and zealous for the house of God. In Psalm chapter 2, you know, we're called to be priests and kings in the body of Christ. That's an honor. That's a blessing. That means that we're called to not only minister to the Lord, but to become warriors of the body of Christ. In verse 10, would you read it with me? Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with what? With what? Trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. So we're to serve the Lord with what? Fear and trembling. It's amazing in the compromise that infiltrates in that area when we realize who God was and the reality that he was real and how we had the reverence, honor, and respect for him and his house. And then we begin to drift. And we get more concerned of everything else than zeal for his house. In Mark chapter 5, the maintaining of the fear and trembling of the Lord is what will keep unity. It brings us back. Remember, Jesus rebuked those. He said, look it, you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. Then what does he do? He says, get back to your first works. In other words, get back to the zeal for my house because you've lost your first love for me. Oh, you say you love me. You say all of these things. You pray and don't obey. Get back to your first love and to your first works, which is zeal for the house of God. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Hopefully I'm in the right place. Mark 5, 25. Is everybody there? Good, let's speak it. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. In other words, she suffered many things from many... Look, these physicians weren't helping her. They were causing more of a problem. Some of us are realizing that. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Some of us have been through that too. But rather grew worse. Oh yeah. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him and in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She said it to herself. She knew. If I could just touch him. See, there was a reverence. There was a fear. There's a reverence, honor, and respect. She was like, you know what? If I could just touch him. See, when we come together to worship God, what we want to do is touch him. We want to touch his heart, and then we get touched. Said, only if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So she was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Touched his clothes, touched his garments. She got a grasp of his garment. Not him, his garment. The covering, the anointing, the mantle. She touched the anointing. See, people put their eyes on man instead of the anointing. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Only one touched him. Only one grab touched that garment, and thirst and hunger, because she said she knew, she was convinced that she would be healed by touching his garment, because she knew in the anointing she'd be healed. And he looked around to see her who had done this. But the woman, what? Fearing and trembling. Look it, she got healed, but let me tell you, there was a reverence, honor, and respect of the anointing. And I'm telling you what, so many people don't reverence and honor and respect the anointing. Knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. But she had a fear and trembling. She reverenced and honored the anointing. She reverenced and honored the carrier of the anointing. Does everybody understand that? See, this is where you and I will work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's reverence and honor and respect and zeal for the house of God. Our purpose is to always maintain unity, not being a promoter of division, but being a promoter of unity. Being an example as the sign and wonder that God has called us to be. Would you turn to Psalm 40 for a moment? Psalm 40 and verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. In other words, I endured. I pressed through. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Are many seeing you and fearing reverence and honor and respect of the anointing of God and put their trust in the Lord? Are you being that sign and wonder And a zeal for the house of God, a destroyer of division, a promoter of unity, and an example. This is where we must come to. This is why disasters come in our life. This is why many things happen in our household, because we're not working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're working out with assumption and pride. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Oh, hallelujah. Fear and trembling. It's not what the body can do for you. It's what you can do for the body. Is everybody there? Isaiah 66, starting at verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's one who walks in the fear of the Lord, reverence and honor, and takes his word literally as absolute. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, I hear many people talk about God's word is not literal. I hear Christians proclaim this on TV. Well, you know, the Bible is really not literal. You know why? They have no reverence or fear. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, they want God to do something for them, but they're not willing to do it for God. Sold out, whatever it takes. Well, I'm just too prideful to do those things. I've been a Christian long enough to do that. Oh, no. No such thing. Let me tell you, God will challenge us. He challenges us in many ways. Let me tell you about a challenge he did with me. And he challenges all kinds of stuff. But anyways, he had sent me to a class. It's called CAP class. It's counseling, addiction program, whatever. It was really disgusting. But I went there. And one of the things, it was for the world that they have a CAPS. You get certified to be a counselor for addiction. And they were offering this, and the Lord said, I want you to go. So I went there. You know what they made me? They made me the donut man, the coffee man. I had to go there and bring donuts and coffee at once a week to the whole thing. And I'm like, all right. I was not pastor. I wasn't anything. Does everybody understand that? Okay, cool. I'll be Donut Man. I was known as Juice Man when I got saved. So I'll be Donut Man now. And it was okay. I got up early every Saturday morning and went and picked up the donuts, went there, made the coffee, got everything set up, and everybody came in, and I sat through this disgusting, boring class. I kept saying, Lord, how long? I'll tell you when. And, of course, then they would talk about success. Success is getting a heroin addict off of heroin and putting them on methadone. I finally stood up and said, that's enough! That's not freedom! That's demon management! You guys don't get it yet that they're dealing with demons? Well, Mr. Ryanello, you need to sit down and settle. You just bring the coffee and the donuts. So I played coffee and donut man for about 3 or 4 months. And Dad said, okay. He said, remember this. Paul decreed it. I became many things that many could be saved. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care what you are. I'm telling you, God will bring you to a place to humble you again if you're willing to. Why? Because he wants you to maintain the zeal for his house. Deuteronomy 6. Hallelujah. In verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may what? Fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be what? that your days may be what? Prolonged. How many of y'all want prolonged days? Then you must maintain the zeal for the house of God and walk in fear and trembling. Is everybody okay? Fear the Lord. Serve Him in fearing. To obey, to serve, unite, and prosper according to His will. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Fear, the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of knowledge. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. In other words, you will be led. Does everybody understand that? Knowledge. The fear of the Lord will bring you knowledge. This knowledge is revelation knowledge. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 12. Says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Verse 13, read it with me. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. One more time. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now look what he calls evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Pride and arrogance. We're to hate evil, not pet it. Amen? Proverbs 9. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 14. Verse 26. 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is what? Strong confidence. See, when you maintain the fear and trembling in the Lord, there is confidence. That's not pride. There's a place of confidence in the Lord. There's no compromise. You're confident no matter what's going on. You're confident in the Lord. Why? Because you trust in Him. There is strong confidence. And His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. You got to step back and ask yourself, am I really working my salvation out with fear and trembling? Have I lost the zeal for the house of God? Because if you've lost the zeal for the house of God, you have lost the fear of the Lord. And you've become religious. Isaiah 11. Religion is very sneaky. That spirit is very sneaky. It promotes pride. It dilutes the fear and reverence of God. And the only house you want to be zealous for is yourself. Isaiah 11, verse 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In other words, the foundation here is the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what he see, what he what? By his eyes. He shall not judge by his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. You know, one of the things when, in other words, what he's saying, so many times we judge by what we see or what we hear instead of by fruit, righteousness. Where's the fruit? And this is what the Lord had shared with me. He said, CLC. I said, CLC? He says, yeah, when I speak, I convict, I love, I correct. I convict, I love, and I correct. So this is what he said. He said, when I convict you, I expose something, but I love you. He said, when I give you the correction, I give you the solution. Is everybody with me? So when the Lord is speaking to me and you, he's going to give you conviction. He's going to love you, and he's going to give you the solution of the conviction. Amen? He's not going to just convict you and love you and let you go. He doesn't speak that way. That's not God. He convicts, He loves us, and He gives us the solution. If you read the Bible all the way through, He always gives you the solution all the way through. Oh, man, you know, you're doing something wrong. But I love you. He doesn't walk away then. He said, here's the solution. Is everybody with me? Here's the solution. That's where you know if it's of God or not. There's always a solution. Is everybody okay? He convicts us, He loves us, and He gives us a solution to fix it. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, it says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be what? Zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be what? Cut off. So we're to be zealous for the fear of the Lord. We're to be zealous for that. We're to welcome that. Why? Because when you and I are walking in fear and trembling, we are zealous for the house of God. And our desire is to maintain what? Unity. Amen? We want to maintain unity in the house of God, not promote division. We want to maintain unity. We're not doing things behind closed doors to promote division. Hopefully, there's repentance behind closed doors. In Romans 15, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Romans 15, verse 1. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Fear and trembling. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let me tell you, babies love to complain. They grumble. They complain. They talk behind closed doors. But we who are more mature need to be the example, not become a baby again. And not to become offended when somebody talks about you. Because everybody's going to talk about you. When you do it right or when you do it wrong, you're talked about. But who cares? If you're standing before God all the time, your only care is that what He hears, what He sees. Amen? Who cares what anybody else says or thinks? That ain't going to change nothing. But if you're truly working your salvation out with fear and trembling, you're going to be careful what comes out of your mouth. And if you're not careful, then you're not walking in fear and trembling. Then you're walking in pride. And the only one you're promoting is yourself. You're willing to expose everyone else but you. That's stinking religion. Where's the humbleness? Where's the contrite heart? Where's the zeal for the house of God? Where's the desire to keep unity? Thrown out the window? Flushed down the toilet? That's why we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling in every area. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Edification. Edification, not discouragement. Edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded toward one another according to Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quit looking at the worst first. Hello. You know, people always think the worst first. Even when it's in your own circumstance. Oh, my God. Worst first. We got a teaching called worst first. Don't go to worst first. Go to best first. Hello? You can come. Praise God. We want to be what? Like-minded. Like-minded with who? Christ. What is Christ thinking? See, when we're walking in reverence, the fear of the Lord, the working our salvation out, we're thinking the way God's thinking. Not the way man's thinking. Man, the carnal mind tries to think like God, and it can't. It just can't. The Bible even tells us it can never be like God. That's why we need to have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. This doesn't mean to be a busybody. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 5. Are you ready? Let's pray this, okay? Psalm 69, verse 5. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's children, because the zeal for your house has eaten me up. Let me tell you, people are not going to like you. They're going to wonder why you're so concerned about the house of God instead of them. Because the zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Let me tell you, when you are walking in fear and trembling, and the zeal for the house of God is established in you, and you have a desire to keep unity in the house, people will come against you. They don't even know why they are coming against you. I have a zeal for this house. I have a zeal for the people in this house because it's not a house of God unless the people of God are in it. The zeal is to raise up warriors, to prepare for what's getting ready to happen, to maintain unity, to bring the immature to the mature, to bring the outcast to someone who cares and loves, to bring the forsaken to one who's no longer forsaken. And to open the eyes of the blind who couldn't see or hear. But after we've come to that place and we are now walking in that place, what we have to give, we must give. We don't hide it, hold it, or put it on the shelf to become dusty or no use, like some knickknack in a house. We come out to shine the light of Christ. We become zeal for the house of God. We volunteer our times. We participate in the things that are going on. Because of what he has done for us. It's not what he can do for you now. He's done it already. It's what you can do for him now. And I'll close at Psalm 133. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 133, let's speak it together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So I encourage you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and the fruits of fear and trembling will follow. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray for each and every one here today, those watching and hearing. I pray that the fear of the Lord will always be before you, in you, and through you. That your house, for the house of the Lord, will be a zeal to you to maintain unity, to be a participant, and to be a pillar in this house. For you are surely a sign and wonder and a trophy to God. I pray that his light shine through you, that the Lord keep you healed and comforted. Even though you go through it, that you are through it. That you see things through, hear things through, and walk things through. That you become an example to those who are weak. And that you carry the banner of truth and love and compassion. And that the anointing cloak you in Jesus' mighty name.